Triple Option in studio this week, back in action, Blair, Tyler, and Harold. We're going to talk some Purdue basketball. We're going to leave Purdue football. We'll come back and do a wrap-up a little bit later. We've, of course, got the Colts and Pacers. The Pacers continue to roll. The Colts continuing to try and at least stay in the conversation for a bye week. And then, of course, a whole lot going on in BCS with the championships this week with the conferences. So starting with Purdue basketball, Pops, to me, it seems like they play a little bit to their competition. I know that that's kind of tough to state because they got blown out by Oklahoma State, but I think maybe that was a little bit of shell shock at how good Oklahoma State was. But they come into the Big Ten ACC Challenge against the Boston College team that people said, well, you know, they've had their ups and downs, but Connecticut's pretty good, and they hung with them, and they did this and this. And it was a game for a little bit, but Purdue kind of really just put their foot on the gas in the first half, pushed it away, and then Boston College could never get it really under, I think, 8-9 in the second half. And then I think the zone was part of it, but they play against an Eastern Michigan team, and they get up a little bit, but they seem to kind of struggle. Is that kind of how you gauge the season thus far? Do they kind of play to the competition?
It would appear, for as impressive as, I guess, as the Boston College win, though nobody really knows how good BC is. You know, you come back against Eastern Michigan and you struggle, and, you know, the second half performance was reminiscent of what you saw down in Orlando, where they play one half and then the other half they just look like garbage, like they're just disinterested, and they just managed to hang on. This team is the textbook definition of winning ugly. They are winning, I'll give you that. Just don't know if they have anything win to hang your hat on yet. I guess Boston College is a close, but now Boston College is 3-5, and I don't know if they played over the weekend, but yeah, I guess it's up for debate. You mean, you know, do they play to the competition, or is it a situation where it's like they can play, you know, I don't know, this team plays one good half and one other half, they're just kind of I don't know if that's because of the age of this team, but you know, they just got to continue to get better. But I guess they're 8-2, so 8-2 is, Bill Parcells famously said, your record says what you are, so you're 8-2.
Tyler, what are your observations of the team?
Really inconsistent on the court. It seems like they can get into the game, they can kind of coast, and then at the end of the game, they don't really seem to have much drive to finish at all. They're kind of just, I mean, all the games show because they're ugly wins, they just kind of limp and fall and flail to the end of the game and hope to dear God that they somehow get the win. But they're not pushing to the end. They're just allowing it to pull them. They're allowing the game to control them instead of controlling the game throughout it.
Well, what do you think of the roster? Because I think that, you know, we watch the first few games of the season and we think, okay, this team's winning ugly. I guess they're a little bit better than last year's team. And then they have a really good second half against Oklahoma State. Then they play really bad against Washington State, and then they blow out Boston College, and they struggle with Eastern Michigan. I mean, do you feel better about this team than you did at the beginning of the season?
I mean, the Eastern Michigan game, they started like, most of the starters were in, right? Yes, because they started four freshmen.
They went with, they keep changing the lineup. Hammonds is on the bench now, I think. Is Stevens? I don't think Stevens on. Sure. Yeah, Ronnie Johnson didn't start, but that was because Painter says because he was late to practice.
I think Tyrone was. He was the only one I think that started. Because I know four freshmen did start that game, so that kind of speaks to why it was not as pretty of a game.
So, do you feel better about this team now than at the beginning?
No, because I think what I've heard is the measuring stick of a college basketball team is not how you play at home and not exactly how you play away, but how you play at neutral sites, because neutral sites is where the games that matter are, and they didn't look very good on neutral sites. I mean, it's good to be, 6-0, 7-0 at home, but what matters is that they went to a tournament and played one team that they obviously probably should have lost, fair enough, but two teams that they should have beat. They struggled in one mightily. The other one was not as good as a win as it should have been. So, no, not really. I like their chances to get to a tournament berth, but I think they'll lose their first game because they can't play in a neutral site.
Pops, your thoughts?
Yeah, I guess I do feel a little bit better, but I'd feel a lot better if Tyrone Johnson was a better shooter.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when I turned the game on yesterday, it was against that zone. It was clank, 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 clank. It kind of reminded me of that Spike Lee commercial that he had with Reggie Miller when they were playfully going back and forth, and Spike Lee picked up a brick and said, "Reggie, how do you shoot one of these?" It just, why would you not play a zone against Purdue? I mean, Kendall Stevens, pretty good shooter. Who else am I missing?
Sterling Carter is a good shooter, but his percentages haven't reflected it. That's really, really it. Nobody else really takes shots. Peck's not bad.
My problem is they just still do not have, they need more than one decent outside shooter. And when you have a team that has a propensity to want to chuck up outside jump shots and they're not good shooters, that, to me, that's not good offense. And that's still what I see out of this team. And then I still don't think they take advantage of the fact that they get two big horses down inside between Simpson and Hammonds, that you're literally going to have one of these guys in the lineup all the time. And I just don't know if is that modern college basketball where they're just kind of, I'm not passing it to him, I'm going to shoot it. I don't know. I mean, you know, Oklahoma State, you hope, was an indication that what their potential could be. But the Eastern Michigan game playing against the zone, is that a potential of how they get playing against the zone? I mean, if I was playing at Purdue, I wouldn't. And this is what I felt for the last 2 or 3 years. Why would you not play a zone? Because they don't shoot well. They have a tendency to be a little bit too quick to pull the trigger, and they will settle for jump shots, and they're not a good jump shooting team. And it's early, but I mean, you know, I think this team could make the NIT. I'm not for sure if they're going to make the NCAA yet. I got to see what they do in the Big Ten.
I 100% agree with you. I don't know why anyone wouldn't implement a zone against Purdue, because they do struggle to shoot. The announcers even yesterday, and those guys are pretty good. They don't typically aren't considered pro, or they're not homers or whatever, but the announcers are saying yesterday when it got late and Eastern Michigan needed a foul, you know, Tyrone Johnson's the guy you want to hack because he's about a 50% shooter, which is ridiculous, but I think that people have started to realize he's kind of more of a volume shooter, and that's why he's led the team in scoring. He has his abilities, but I think Ronnie is an overall more complete player. He's a better passer. I think he's a better shooter.
Okay, but if you listen to the game, Ronnie Johnson wasn't in at the end of the game. They went with a freshman.
Well, I think
because I think, and to me, that spoke some volumes about what maybe Painter's looking at. I don't know.
I disagree. Ronnie Johnson was said to have not started because he was late to a practice, and I think he was kind of ineffective in the game, and so they went with Scott because they went with the hot hand.
They played four freshmen. I think they were trying to just play freshmen that game.
I don't think that was purposely the goal. I think he went with whoever was effective.
Oh, yeah, but he might have been thinking, I don't know, that's what it sounded like when they said four freshmen. When they sounded like that, and everybody was basically out.
So, Pops, what do you think about Hammonds? Because I know we were on him early, but to me, even though he's not producing what you expected, I don't see it on him. Because in the last few games, he's really seemingly made some big differences on rebounds and defense. It just seems like he's not getting rewarded on the offensive side. That and Boston College, I watched that game. Boston College was doubling both him and Simpson immediately.
Yeah, I guess you could say he's contributing on the defensive end. He's not contributing on the offensive end, but let's face it, he got recognized for his offense. I mean, that's going to be the reason he was getting drafted in the NBA, because of his offense. And frankly, Purdue needs his offense. There needs to be a commitment from that school and Painter to get to him somehow. And you know, for all the preseason hype, it's just things have not started out overall the best for him. You know, maybe that is a good thing for Purdue. Maybe this will humble him out to realize he's got to work, as opposed to my concern was, is he going to take this to the point that he just kind of says, I don't care about the team goals, I want to get to the NBA draft. And maybe this is the best thing to happen, but Purdue is going to have to have his offense, I think, to be a competitive team in the Big Ten, and you know, to get in the NCAA tournament, to, you know, do anything. So my hope is that they somehow figure out some offensive sets to get him the ball and let him score.
I agree that his offense is needed. I disagree that he was solely an NBA prospect on his offensive ability. He's clearly a defensive power in terms of blocks and just altering shots. Tyler, your thoughts on Hammonds as far, because he's been kind of one of the points we're going to watch going forward in terms of how Purdue's going to be successful.
And the game I saw, it did not look like it continues to look like the offense is not centered around him like it probably should be. But offensively, he's a weapon, not I guess he's not the go-to guy when they're trying to shoot. He's more of a side weapon, which I guess he should be featured more, especially because you said like the ball was it like the offense should be run from the middle,
the inside out.
Yeah, it does not look like that's happening at all.
No, I agree with you, and I think again, I think part of it's the players because I think the announcers again on the pre-broadcast have made it clear that Painter yells at his team on the court that they need to get it inside, and it just seems like. I think the zone from Eastern Michigan gave them fits again because it tries to keep the ball out of the middle of the court and tries to force you to shoot. Pops, what are some of your thoughts on the players, specifically the younger ones, but I guess anybody that's impressed you because it kind of, with such a young team, we're going to kind of jump back in here from time to time to see who's thought, you know, last time I asked you, you thought that you really liked Ronnie Johnson, you like Jay Simpson, I'm assuming you're still on the Simpson bandwagon. Does anybody else jump out to you? Because I told you, I really liked Bryson Scott last time, and the kid, he's fearless. The kid continues to show that it doesn't matter what the situation is, he's going to try and make something happen.
No, Bryson Scott had a really good game, but I like Basil Smotherman, too.
Yeah.
He looks like he's big enough to take it to the goal. Who else am I missing?
Stevens is the other freshman.
And Stevens. I like all three. I think clearly they're the future of this team going forward. I want more of a team aspect and building, you know, building for the team, not trying to take so much one-on-one. And that kind of speaks to the inability or not getting it into Hammonds, you know. And why, the way you break, you got a 2-3, all right, it's very simple. You bring a guy up in the paint that's in between or just some near the free throw line. That could have been Hammonds. You throw it to him, and then you arrange down guys on the baseline. You got your guys there, and what you do is you try to draw Hammonds. And Hammonds, if Hammonds was put up on that high post, all right, he would have drawn another defender or two, and then you could have threw it to guys cutting on a baseline. That's how you break down a 2-3 defense. I did not hear much of that either. It, you know, that's a simple way to beat his own defense. And the other way you to beat his own defense is you beat it down to the defensive end, which means you push the ball. And I don't think probably you got enough guys on this team outside of Hammonds who probably, I think he runs pretty good, but everybody else runs. So, you know, they could have tried to push the ball up too, because that's another way you beat a zone defense, is you beat it up before it gets set up. So, you know, I'm not sure what we're at as far as if Painter's coaching and they're not listening, or what if he's totally in charge. They have talent. I just think it needs to be a little bit more organized, clearly, because it just doesn't seem like the coaching is taking.
I think that's the bottom line, because it looks, I think that's the right statement to make. Let's move down to Indy. Let's start with the Pacers. They beat the Spurs over the weekend in fairly convincing fashion. It's like their first win there in over 10 years. And a lot of people in or pundits, whether you respect them or not, had the Spurs and Pacers as 1 and 2 in whatever order in the NBA. So I know this is the regular season, but how much does that win say anything for you?
It's a game in early December. It says they beat the Spurs. Congratulations. We haven't won there in a while. In the scheme of things, I don't know. It doesn't mean a heck of a lot. There's just, it's one of 82 games, and it's a win to get to where they want to get, which is the number one seed in the East, potentially the number, and right now they have the number one seed in the NBA playoffs if they were to start today. Congratulate yourself, but let's don't get carried away and pronounce them the NBA champs, because it's a long regular season.
Tyler, your thoughts? Does that win mean anything for you, even though it is December?
No. I mean, that's like if anyone tries to say the fact that the Bulls beat the Heat by 10, does that mean anything? No.
No, but there are Bulls fans who are like, hey, we're back there in the Bulls bandwagon, and we're going to get Derrick Rose back. There's just depends. The meatheads will take it and run. I mean, it's a good plug for the Pacers, but let's put it in perspective.
Well, what do you think about the Pacers then overall? I mean, I don't know if your thoughts can really change because they haven't dropped off, but Granger still has a bag. I mean, can they maintain this pace for the entire season?
Well, you know, let's see what they do on the road in the West. But, boy, as bad as the East is, when you have I think Boston is leading the Atlantic and they're 4 or 5 games under.
That's awful. Yeah.
So I knew the Knicks and the Nets were just awful. Terrible.
And they're projected. Somebody I read said that there's doing some projections. There's an NBA team that's projected to get in with a 31-51 record. I think they're probably talking about the Atlantic winner.
Atlantic winner with Boston. You know what? I am on the Boston bandwagon. Let's get as least wins as we can and get the playoffs. Is there a playoff seed or is it?
Yeah, well, the division winner gets home court number.
It is four. I didn't know if that's the joke of it. Yeah. I didn't know if they did that. That's I want to see that.
Okay, Pops. Pops, better question then, more interesting question: is the Bulls 72-10 record in danger?
Maybe a little. I would say. Don't even give me. You jumped in on mine when I tried. I said this.
Yeah, Bulls beat him by 10.
You're like, blah, 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 blah. You got to.
Go ahead, Tyler Jackson. Let me hear about your basketball.
I would say yes on the fact that the. How many games do you play in the East in your own conference?
Pops.
Let's see. You play the 30. You play 52 games in the East because you played like everybody in the West twice. That's 15 and that's 30. So that's it. It's 52 games in the East.
I say yes on the fact that they could basically go like 48-4 in the East, just because they could just demolish the East.
I can't argue with it because the level of suckage is of like as Tyler has going to have
level.
Said is Hoover level. It's bad. I mean, I continue to maintain. I'm not just saying as the three of us get a couple more guys in a bench. I think we might contend for the playoff spot. It's that bad.
Fair enough.
And you know. While I would never consider the Pacers of equal to the 72-10 Bulls with Michael and Pippen and Rodman, I'm not going to argue. I mean, I'm not saying that they're going to go 72-10, but is 70 wins out of the realm the way things are going and the way they're playing? No, I don't think it is. I'm not predicting it, but I'm not. It's not that crazy.
Couple of rapid fire questions: does Paul George win the MVP?
It would appear. Yeah, I'd say so because I just don't think unless. The only way I see it would be if LeBron leads, like, the Heat to, like, the second-best record and literally has to do everything on his own because I think everybody clearly is on, you know, is now looking at him as favorably. And so I still probably Paul George is more likely to win.
Tyler?
Yeah, I'll go with Paul George right now, especially if it depends on what the Heat get because now they're looking for – I guess somebody to moonlight for Wade basically. So it depends on if they can get somebody that helps. Well, you think that's funny?
No, I think it's very apropos.
Oh.
And the funny thing is they don't have any salary cap space.
No.
And they're trying to figure out how to trade it.
That was now, good.
And you know, no, it's very good. And I think what I read to pick up on Tyler's thing, I read in Hoop Trade Rumors, they have 6 back-to-back games over the next 6 weeks. It's pretty obvious that Wade is not going to play in the second game of them. And I don't know who the Heat can get. I mean, you got Greg Oden, who's basically keeping a seat warm, you know, and also he's sitting next to his buddy Michael Beasley, lottery pick, who's also keeping a seat warm. So, I mean, if they could go. If they're able to, if Pat Riley could go pick somebody up, then there's something screwy, really screwy with the salary cap rules because, frankly, I don't think they should be able to do anything. But we'll see.
So, Ty, yes on George winning the MVP?
Yeah, unless they can somehow make some magic happen and get somebody good.
And then last quick question is, have the Pacers shown you that they need anything? Do they need more shooting, size? I'm going to assume not on size, but anything. Weakness?
The only thing I think this team needs is experience, and you hope that they gained it, a sense of it, or an amount of it last year. And frankly, I'm ready to just jump forward to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Heat, frankly, because I don't like the winter. Let's just get through it, but I think... this stuff of just going into Washington, going into Boston, going into the Knicks, going into the Nets, and just giving them their daily ass whooping. You know, can we just skip this and just let's get to what is important, and what is important is the Eastern Conference Finals.
Tyler?
Oh, yeah. This real season seems like it's already boring already. It's basically time to get... might as well just get to the Eastern Conference Finals between Heat and Pacers and let the West play out to figure out which one of those 8 are going to play them.
All right, so let's talk about the Colts for a little bit. They beat the Titans, and I think they pretty much, what do we have, like 5 weeks left, 4 weeks left in the regular season?
I think 3 after this.
Is it 3? And their magic number, I think, is 1, right? They're up 3, so they just have to win once to clinch the division.
Yeah, they're going to win the division. I don't. If there's an error of inevitability, it's the Colts winning that division.
So the question continues. I guess the question remains, will they get into the two spot? Because obviously I think Denver's pretty much locked up the one at this point. Well, Denver Chiefs, whoever happens to win. I'm assuming the Broncos.
No, I think New England is going to keep them out. So I think New England will, what, they'll beat the three probably.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I mean,
well, actually, they'll be the two.
Well,
wrong question. I think New England gets the two because I think their offense has picked up since Gronk has come back. You know, and I think it's just opened up everything else. It's opened up running lanes. It's open. I think their average. I can't remember the amount of points difference as they said, but it's somewhere in around 10 a game. Just his presence. So. And, you know, without Reggie Wayne, who I think it continues to kind of be a talking point that nobody really talks about, this offense, the passing offense, has just gone in the toilet. And part of it is because of the knucklehead running the offense, and that would be Pep Hamilton.
Okay, better question then. Do the Colts lose the 3 seed to the Bengals? Because they play each other this week, I think.
Yes, I think they do. Because the Colts are, their offense lately has just been, yuck. And it's, you know, they'll get in because it's kind of who, I mean, this, seriously, who's going to challenge them? I mean, you know, I'm not going to say that the AFC South is as bad as the Eastern Conference NBA, but it's in the neighborhood, okay? I mean, outside the Colts right now. But that said, I just think the Colts don't have enough offensive weapons. And the fact that they want to run a power running game with Trent Richardson and finally have got around to decide, well, is 3 yards of a carrier not enough? And maybe you ought to put him on the bench. You know, they just have no offense outside of Andrew Luck. And it's not like Andrew Luck could go back and throw it to himself. Or it's not like Andrew Luck could hand it off to Andrew Luck, who could throw it to Andrew Luck. And you know, the only way we could do that would be a Bugs Bunny cartoon. You know, it's just that he is it. And Irsay, who I'm guessing was behind this Trent Richardson deal. Congratulations, Jerry Jones wannabe. Stay out of the trying to act like you know what you're doing on football operations. And please stay off Twitter because you drive me crazy. And let an actual general manager go out and find football players.
So, Tyler, then I'm assuming you're going to tell me that the Colts should just enjoy the division crown because I think we're all assuming it's going to be the Chiefs at the 5, but it could be the Broncos. But the Colts aren't going to win their home playoff game anyway.
No, they'll probably get demolished by a team that knows how to play a defense and knows how to stop a team that basically has a quarterback. And Ursae was like, yeah, just fill it in with players. I don't care. They're like, should we bring in? Just bring in a player. Bring in a man with a name who has legs and arms. That's what I want on my football team, plus Andrew Luck.
So I think we're just, the Colts are just going to enjoy the grind down of the season because I guess, Tyler, do you think they're going to end up as the 4th seed? Do you think the Bengals will leapfrog them?
It depends on the game they play, I guess. I think the Bengals will beat the Colts and then take away with the 3 seed.
Okay, let's wrap it up with some BCS. First, Pops, as a college football fan, is this not the greatest weekend in sports? Because a lot of those bowl games are just garbage.
It's one of them. I don't know if it's the best, but I think...
What rivals it then for you if conference championships isn't the best?
I think the first weekend of NCAA tournament... Where you actually have opening games, you just have games everywhere.
No, I'm talking about football. Just football.
Actually, I think probably the weekend when you had the 4 playoff games in the NFL, the divisional round, because then
just college football.
College football.
Yeah, I guess it is. But, you know, frankly, for me, outside the SEC championship game, the rest of it just kind of noise.
Yeah, the Ohio State-Michigan State game was pretty entertaining.
You didn't like that one? That was the only good one to you?
Disinterested.
What about the...
All right, so I'm pretty sure at this point it's a foregone conclusion that it's Florida State-Auburn. But with Ohio State losing and Oklahoma State losing...
Stanford winning.
I assume they were going to win. But it kind of tossed into the air because you had Northern Illinois lose as well. So now, I don't want to say it completely tossed it in the air, but it kind of did because now the at-large bids are kind of scattered around here a little bit more.
Especially one, and I've seen projections that one is going to go to Oklahoma.
Yeah. Oklahoma's supposedly a favorite to get in against Alabama in the Sugar Bowl, I think is the one I saw.
And I think the Orange Bowl was Clemson, Ohio State.
Yeah, Pops, you're giving me a face here. I'm assuming you don't agree with those at-large picks.
I would, you know, I'm going to say this, I agree with you, but if you look at it, it's really tough because, like, a bunch of the top 10 teams lose, and you're like, what do you do? Because you can't take 2 SEC teams. The only thing is, like, you take Oregon at 13?
No, see, this is where I hate the rule of you can't have anything more than two. Missouri really probably should go over Oklahoma.
Yes.
And, maybe even over Ohio State, because if they played a tougher schedule.
Agreed.
And the fact that the Big Ten are going to get two in is just because it's like a tall midget contest. And they these damn rules about two teams getting in. It just sucks because, frankly, I thought the SEC should. It's not that I'm all of a sudden turn SEC, but it's just the best football conference. I'm sorry. It just doesn't compare. And I've thought maybe last year that they should have gotten three. Probably the last 3 years, SEC should get three teams in. Well, and the BCS, because they're just the best teams.
The sad thing is at the end. Okay, sorry.
But that's not what they're looking up for. They're not looking here for the best teams. They're looking for the best matchups. Who brings more knuckleheads out of the state? Who spends more money? You know, who's the more name? So Oklahoma is more of a name at this point, and they're going to stick them in. Though, boy, it's the BCS in a nutshell.
Well, the sad thing is that they're not going to take more than two SEC teams in, but at this BCS poll that they're going to have before the bowl games, there are going to be four SEC teams in the top 10, and only two are getting in. Because Missouri was
five,
and even at worst, they're maybe 11 or 12. They're not going to fall drastically because they lost to the number 3.
Well, yeah, they're not going to fall to the top 10 because Oklahoma State was in the top 10 and they lost. And I guess I think that Missouri would fall shorter distance than Ohio State would.
They're gonna be like 8-9, whatever. South Carolina's in the top 10, Alabama and Auburn, but only two out of those four are getting in, which is just ridiculous. It basically looks at the BCS and be like, you're not picking the best teams. You're picking conferences, and you're saying each conference is equal. Well, they're not equal. That's not the point.
Well, let's not spend a whole lot of time on this because we'll have forever to debate about the bowls because it takes like 10 months to actually play the games. But who are your at-large picks? As we know, Auburn, Florida State are in. Baylor's in for the Big 12. UCF's in for the fake Big East.
Is that who they're representing?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're in.
Michigan State's in for the Big Ten.
An automatic title. I don't want anybody from whatever you call that conference. Right there, if I'm running the NCAA today, screw South Central Florida. You want to put them in congratulations, you had a nice season.
They have one loss.
Okay, but as far as an automatic bid for the Big Least, I'm sorry. I can't put you guys in.
I don't dispute that the Big Least is awful. Anyway, it is the last year. So Florida State, Auburn, Michigan State, Baylor, Central
State,
Florida.
Baylor's
in for the Big 12.
Oh, I thought you were talking bowl.
He's talking automatic bids into BCS.
And then I'm missing one. Stanford. Those are your six, I believe.
So we got to put four at-larges in.
Yeah, so the projected is Ohio State, Clemson,
Alabama, and Oklahoma are the projected at this point in time. I'm assuming you'd put Bama in.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you're going to put Ohio State in.
Well, I think because of lack of options, and yes, they do have one loss despite the fact that they won the Big Ten regular season or tied. So, I mean, I don't know if that's really anything to brag about, but they get in, I suppose, so that leaves two.
To me, I don't know how Clemson gets in with, what, three losses, and they got embarrassed by South Carolina in the last week of the season.
See, this is where you go, that Missouri should be in, and Oregon has fallen off. Oklahoma State, two losses, three.
Two, right? They lost. Oklahoma was their first loss in conference. They lost to somebody else outside of conference, right? Or
they
no?
lost to Kansas, and everybody was like, ooh.
Okay, so the that two losses, yeah.
Okay, so I put Oklahoma State in. I put Oklahoma State in over Oklahoma, even though people are going to be screaming because Oklahoma beat Oklahoma State yesterday. So I got Bama, Ohio State, Oklahoma State. See, to me, I'd have to put another SEC team in. I mean, you could put Missouri.
It has to be
South Carolina.
Deserves
to
go. South Carolina.
You know, frankly, one of those two. But if I had to make a choice, Jesus.
So I guess it's Clemson by default because the top 10 was stacked with SEC teams.
Yeah.
I guess, but that's just ridiculous that the Clemson could get in, or that they're talking about an Oklahoma could get in simply because
Oklahoma came in 15th in this week.
It's moronic. It's idiotic. But you know, it's not going to get any better next year because it's just going to change and you're going to have people complaining. It's a joke.
Well, okay. So you mentioned next year. Let's talk about that because next year I have not heard any rules. It doesn't matter what conference the teams are from, right? you can just, it's just the four teams that are the top four in the BCS, correct? Okay, so what are the, what does the top four of the BCS look like after this week? It's Auburn 2, Florida State 1.
Bama,
I guess, Bama slides up to 3.
Stanford, I guess.
Oh, I'm completely off that bandwagon.
Because Stanford was like 7, but like 5 and 6 both lost, right?
Yeah, I mean, Stanford gets in. A team that loses to Utah doesn't deserve to be
no,
there.
No, but I mean, you know, Alabama's going to be 3 or 4.
They're 3.
Okay, but they're going to get in there. I don't know if people are going to whack off and give Stanford, let them jump up to 3 because they beat, you know, Arizona State. Congratulations. I don't know what that means. But those would probably be your top 4. Now, if I was running it, okay, this is how I'd seed the BCS. Auburn 1, Alabama 2.
Absolutely agreed.
Florida State 3.
Well, Auburn's not
Stanford
two.
4.
Alabama's not
okay.
You could go with Baylor.
Well,
what was Baylor? Baylor was 9th?
Baylor was 9th. Stanford was 7th. Baylor beat Texas.
Yeah, the issue is that Arizona State was ranked. I don't know. I'd prefer Baylor, honestly. I don't think Stanford deserves
it. If I was ranking the 4B, let's say the playoffs were in the playoffs.
Well,
okay,
also,
that's would be my four teams ranked that way,
right? Also,
because I don't care if Florida State's undefeated. Auburn and Alabama have better strength of schedules. It's not even close. So they're 1-2. All right, so you put Florida State 3, and then you want to put, I don't care. You want to put Baylor, Stanford, doesn't matter.
Baylor.
All right, I'll put Baylor in at 4, and then you go Baylor, Auburn, Bama, Florida State, and then your championship.
Also throwing out there, it's not terribly out of the realm to say Michigan State could jump up to 4. They did beat the number
it's
two
possible.
Team.
Possible.
I prefer Stanford's way on the outs for me. I mean, I know they beat Oregon, but look where Oregon's finished. And again, the Utah loss. I know everybody loses, but Alabama didn't lose to a bad team.
So apparently,
Auburn didn't lose to a bad team.
You got an issue with Utah, right?
Stanford lost to Utah, and that means they should not be in the playoffs. Because isn't one of the big things about the playoffs, one of the benefits is that strength of schedule goes into it, and that's one of the things. Because you're supposed to play a better non-conference because that's supposed to be a representation. I thought that was one of the main points they made for the playoffs is that your strength of schedule is a factor.
It is, and I think that's a reason that you're going to start seeing teams instead of playing, you know, the school of the blind and the deaf, that they're actually going to start getting serious. Like, as I said, LSU has now picked up a deal to where they're going to be playing Wisconsin. So at some point, you're going to get a chance. Tyler's going to get a chance if he wants to drive up to Wisconsin to see his LSU Tigers up in Wisconsin's playing them. I don't know when that starts.
It's at Lambeau, isn't it?
Well, I don't know, but it's going to be up
2015,
in, it's going to be up in Cheeseland. But
Cheeseland.
Yeah.
That's as close as LSU gets. So it's probably, you know, if you could get a ticket, which, you know, and nobody has anything to do on Saturdays in Wisconsin other than milking cows, so they go buy tickets to the game, or they get schlossed at the game and eat their cheese. That's why they're constipated, but they got to, well, anyway.
Beer cheese.
Whatever. But this is as close as LSU gets. But the point being is you're going to start seeing games like that. You know, and maybe the Big Ten can get out of playing these Podunk U and Bubblegum State and everybody else. That's why Ohio State was their non-conference schedule. And actually start playing some meaningful games in September.
Before we wrap it up, let me go back to the SEC championship game. I talked to you last night because we'd watched some of the end of the conference games. Do you think, and I've seen otherwise, but fans are idiots everywhere because everyone says, oh, you get everything. You get a close game. Florida State's going to win by a million. Oh, Auburn's going to win by a million. Auburn shouldn't be there. You hear everything from fans because they're all idiots. But do you feel that the SEC championship game, the way it unfolded, and looking at the BCS title game, which, again, I don't see how it's not Auburn, Florida State, will be the almost a carbon copy? Because if you remember last year, and this is my point because I think it is, both Alabama was the better rushing team than Georgia. Georgia still ran the ball quite effectively, just had the better passing game, which I think was almost what you saw this year, because I don't know if Mizzou has NFL receivers. Those are some big boys. Mm-hmm. But nobody could. The Auburn cannot be stopped running the ball. And so I think that Auburn's just going to run over Florida State. I don't think it's going to be as bad as Alabama, Notre Dame, but I don't think Auburn can be stopped rushing. It seems like a kind of a carbon copy of last year.
I say Auburn by at least 10, probably. I would say Auburn by at least 2 touchdowns.
I agree. That's why I told Pops going this game is that Missouri and Florida State are relatively close. They have a high-powered offense that can throw it. They could run it pretty good, but they're a better passing team. They have a a good defense, that strength is the line. That's what Missouri was. They had a good line. The rest of the defense was not too much to talk about. And I said, Auburn is just going to run and run and run and run and run the entire game. And they will control it. And Trey Mason could not be stopped. He would just gash them right up the middle, get 10 yards. And then they had to put six in the box or seven in the box to try to stop them. Still didn't work. They still could run it. So it's like, what do you do? And they'll just, and their defense isn't great, but they're athletic and they'll keep up with you. And they'll give their offense chances to get the ball back and just continue to control the clock and continue to wear defenses down. That's how they beat Bama.
Well, of course, we'll look at that closer once we get into the bowl season and get ready for bowl weeks or whatever.
And but that starts probably next week. All right, so.
Well, it was funny because I don't know if you probably had the TV on mute, but they asked. What's his name? What's the coach's name?
Auburn.
Yeah, they asked him what they needed to do at half, and I think at half, Marshall was 6-for-6, and he said, well, I think we need to run the ball more. I just think it's funny.
Well,
but
the stat that come up, they were talking about the first X amount of plays in the second quarter, and I think Missouri was about 50-50. Auburn had like 31, 32 runs, 5 or 6 passes, and they were up 28-20, I have to think that all the crap that's going on down at Florida State, one, I think, stinks. I think justice got screwed again, okay? And the Tallahassee police are, as frankly, had probably buried this. I wouldn't be surprised if this girl got paid off or intimidated or both to shut up and just all of a sudden say, I don't remember anything. And then, case closed, we don't have any evidence. Because if you listen to the press conference, the state DA was making jokes. And I don't see how a girl getting sexually assaulted and a guy, frankly, being told, or we're talking about his guy, whether he's being charged or not, I don't know how any of that's funny. It mocks the whole thing. I have, being a Florida State fan, this whole thing has really turned me off, because apparently we haven't learned anything from Penn State, and obviously football is as important in Penn State or Tallahassee as it is in Slappy Valley. Okay, so, and that's ridiculous. I don't think Winston should be playing. I would even argue, I don't think they should, because of him. I don't know if Florida State should be in. This is my opinion, and I'm a Florida State fan. I don't think they should be in the BCS, because this whole thing stinks, and the people down there, not only the Tallahassee police, I got to think there's somebody in the football staff or somebody in the schools that's helped bury this damn thing. And again, obviously we haven't learned anything from Penn State, all right, and it's just a joke. It just makes me sick. And as much as I am a Florida State fan, I've been one for 20 years, I'd rather not admit to it right now, because it's just that disgusting, it's sickening, you know. And one point here is, this is not going to help other victims who are raped, sexually assaulted, want to come out. If you got a police who come out and say, well, we lock a football around here, I don't know how you're going to be treated, which is what the cops said. And I ain't exaggerating either. It's a joke. I hate it. It makes me sick. I just, Winston shouldn't be in the BC, or the Heisman candidate, and Florida State should not be in the national championship. They should be, frankly, I don't think they should be playing at all. I mean, because a message needs to be sent. But the problem is that the BCS and the NCAA are hypocrites, and the only thing they care about is money.
All right, well, that led me kind of to my last question. Did Trey Mason at least stand a chance to win the Heisman?
I think I would vote for him simply because I'm not saying Auburn is not clean either, but I have no reason at this point to suggest anything. It's kind of like the steroid area in baseball. When a guy starts hitting a home run, you got to say, is he taking anything? You know, in football, college football is like the mafia and the mob. It's just, there's just illegal activities going on. It's just, we know less about it unless something like this becomes well publicized. But having said that, yeah, I think he's my Heisman Trophy winner, because he's led his team. They're in the national championship. I think he set a school record for most rushing touchdowns in a season.
I think he
22.
Set his SEC championship record, too.
He set several records. So that's my Heisman Trophy winner.
Tyler, outside of the Winston thing, because they posted his stats, he had like 140 against LSU, he had 150 against Alabama, he had over 300 against Missouri.
Yes, because he carried that team on his back. I mean, how many? They probably had 500 yards of offense in that game, and he had 300 of them.
They had over 500 rushing yards in that game.
Yeah, he carried that team in every game, and it didn't matter. It didn't matter what team he was playing. Their game plan is give the ball to Mason and let him do his work.
All right, that's going to do it for this week. We'll take a look, see if we can pull up some picks now that college football is kind of done. It might be a little difficult. Check out the blog, 3sportsguns.com. Find the QR scanner for the Android app. All the podcasts available on iTunes. And that's going to do it for this week. I'm Blair Gunther.
Tyler Gunther.
Harold Gunther.
Watch out for the pitch.